And someday, that'll take me just over in the glory land. It's a joy to see all of you who've come back for the evening service. And I'm looking forward to better things tonight, tomorrow, tomorrow night. If Jesus delays his coming, who knows? We just want to do the will of the Lord and have him to come and bless us. I enjoyed the sermon very much this morning. I didn't know what he was going to get out of those words, remember Lot's wife, because I've been trying to forget her all these years and what she did, but he got something out of nothing. And I know you'll pray for him tonight. I mean, I've been going to hear him since I was a little boy. So I've enjoyed it for a long time. And I want you to continue to enjoy it with me. It's my pleasure. Brother Kent Parson, pastor at Elkton Missionary Baptist Church in Elkton, Missouri. You can't say Missouri, it's Missouri. I said Missouri and they corrected me. Bless you, my brother.
Thank you, Kenneth. And he wasn't lying to you. I am that old. I'm thankful to be here again tonight. I'm appreciative of those of you who came back. That's always a delightful experience for a preacher if they come back after they listen to him one time. And for those who don't, why, I understand that too. I do so appreciate the good music. I want you guys to all know that. It takes a lot of talent, takes a lot of time, and I appreciate it. I would have been just as happy to sit right there and listen to you all take my part of the time too. So thank you for the good job. I always say that the music is a critical part of the service. It either kind of gets it going okay, or it can kill it before you ever get started. And I mean that in all sincerity. And I've had the experience of having both those services where that it just, you know, by the time you got ready to preach, it was already going. The spirit was so strong, all you had to do is just get up there. But I've also been to where that by the time you got up there, you had to try to start to build something from what had happened. So I appreciate the good music here this evening. You all are so talented and so blessed. And I hope that you will pray for me, not only this evening, but each service. I asked Kenneth just a few minutes ago, how long did I preach this morning? You all don't know what a disadvantage that is to me, because I do watch. People are all, my church people are always telling me, quit watching the clock. I say, I just will watch it because I know you are. And so I never try to shortchange the Lord. I always hope that I can stop whenever that he's through with me, and that I don't keep going on. An old preacher friend of mine many years ago who had been preaching for many years and was about ready to finish the journey, and I was just getting started, he said, Kent, there's one thing you always need to remember. He said, the older you get and the longer you've been preaching, the more things that are going to come to your mind as you're up there preaching, and the first thing you know, you're reminiscing on those things and you're thinking about all those things, and you've just bored that crowd to death. And so I've tried to remember that. I don't always practice it, but I do remember it. So if I get a little boring to you, please forgive me, and just remind me that it was a little long. I want to use some scripture this evening. This morning I didn't even tell you where the scripture was, and I hope that all of you went home and looked it up, and that maybe you had some thoughts about it the same as Kenneth did about that particular portion of the word of the Lord. But this evening I want to use a portion out of the Old Testament, out of the fifth chapter of 2 Kings. And this is probably a very familiar portion of the word of the Lord to you. It's about a fellow by the name of Naaman. And again, I want those of you who are lost to understand, I don't expect you maybe to know than just maybe the general story, and you may not know that. I don't expect you to, because again, when I was lost, the last thing I was thinking about was reading the Bible and studying the scriptures. I also find, though, that many people, after they've been saved, don't spend much more time in reading the Bible and studying the scriptures than they did before they're saved. So once in a while, I'll have an individual that I speak about that someone will come up to me and say, you know, I don't guess I'd ever heard of him before. And I think, well, then you probably haven't read a lot of the Bible, because most of the people I talk about are pretty familiar people. And this guy's name was Naaman. Naaman. I want you to listen to what the word of the Lord says about him, and then I want you to think about some things in your own life, you that are lost. Now again, I'm talking to you who are lost. The church here and all of those who've been saved, they're just going to come along for the ride tonight if they want to. If they don't, they can just let their minds wander off wherever they want to and think about whatever else it is that they may want to think about. But I would like for you who are lost to think about your soul, about where you are in the eyes of the Lord. And then I want you to see some things that are similar in your life that was in the life of Naaman. The Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. Now, right there is the first thing you need to understand. He was a pretty important person. He was a captain in the army of Syria. He had some rank, and with that rank, he had some privileges. And he was a person who had earned that rank. Now, you may feel this evening that you are a pretty important person, and you are. I want to tell you something about you that, even though I may not know you personally, that I know as I study the word of the Lord, that God made you a very unique individual, and he never made anyone else exactly like you. There is not another person in the world who's exactly like you. I noticed one of the musicians up here when he was playing this evening, and I thought, my goodness, he could pass for one of the state troopers up in my part of the country. I don't know what his profession is. He may be a state trooper for all I know, but he's not the one that I know. But what I want you to understand this evening that are lost, that God made you the individual you are. He knows exactly everything about you. He knows your life. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your thinking. He knows your feelings. There isn't anything about you that he doesn't know. And some of you may feel like that you're a pretty important person and that you deserve something a little better than what the average has. And you may be right, excepting in one area of your life. And I want to get that in a few minutes. But I want you to think about this fellow by the name of Naaman, who was a captain in the army of Syria. And they had a powerful army. He was not a failure. He was a success. And so far in your life, you may have been successful. You may have been able. You see, I probably am thinking more in the line of you younger people, but I also recognize that every once in a while, there's an older person who slips in the mix here that hasn't been saved. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You may have left the presentation and made the appearance that you have been, and you may have told that you have been, and you know you haven't. That's not my problem. If you tell me you've been saved, I have to believe you. Amen. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you haven't been, that's your problem. Amen. And you know it, and God knows it. Yeah. You can lie to me all the time. I was telling one of the members here earlier that I preach every once in a while about what a saved person will do. A saved person will do a lot of things that a Christian won't do. But saved people do just about everything under the sun. Some of them have. Some of us have. Now, I won't say them, I'll say me. A lot of things that I wouldn't want you to know about, that I'd be ashamed for you to know about. I'm still his child. Yeah. I'm still his child. I'm not proud of those things, but I'm still his child. You may feel like that you are a special person, and you may be, but there's one thing wrong with you. He was the captain of the king of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He had prestige. He had standing. He was highly thought of. He was highly respected. And I'm not saying here this evening, you know, whenever I begin to talk about sinners and I talk about lost people, we almost get the idea that those people are below us. Let me tell you something. I am a sinner. When I talk about sinners, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about each one of you who are here. Every one of us are sinners. There are none of us who are above sin. We are still sinners. Some of us are sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. But we are still sinners, and we still sin. So don't you ever think for a second that I think I'm better than you. Quite the contrary. Most of you are better than I am. And nobody knows that better than I do. The Bible says that he was an outstanding man. He was a great man with his master. And he was honorable. Well, listen, I'm talking about a good man. A good man. Had a lot of characteristics and attributes about him that any of us would be pleased to have. Because by him, now listen, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So the Lord had helped him to win his battles when he went out to fight. And when he led his troops into battle, the Syrian army, it was a successful army. You may be successful. Some of you are young and you probably don't know yet what I may be talking about when I talk about success. But so far in your life, you know, you're pretty happy with it. You're pretty pleased with it. Everything's going pretty good. Some of you who are a little older, you have that same feeling of being successful. Nothing wrong with that. I hope that you have that pride and that you have that feeling. But listen, the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. He was also an outstanding man. He was an honorable man. He was a mighty man in valor. He had convictions. He had his own thoughts. He had his own principles. All of these things are positive. These are things that any of you should be delighted to have to be able to describe you as an individual. But listen now. But he was a leper. All of a sudden, I changed the whole picture. I didn't change it. The word changes it. All of a sudden, there's something totally different about him than what appeared on the surface. With all of these things that could be seen about him, and with all of the status that he had attained, with everything that he had accomplished, with everything that people had thought about him, there was one thing they did not know about him, and he did not want them to know. He was a leper. And leprosy in that day was jeopardy. Leprosy in that day of the individual mean that that person was to be considered as a social outcast. He was not to have any dealings with other people. He was to be isolated. He was to be put away from them. It was despicable. It was disgraceful. It was one of those diseases that no one wanted to have. It probably would remind you today most closely to when we say the C word today. Yeah. And I'm not talking about clown. I'm talking about cancer. You see, I find that interesting that we don't even want to come out and say the C word. When I first went up to the Jefferson City several years ago, which is our state capital, and I was in office at the time, I went up there and one of the people introduced me to him and said, he's a D. I thought, he's a D? Does that mean he's not an A grade, or he's a D grade or something. No, you see, those politicians don't want to say, the Republicans don't want to say Democrat, so they call him a D. And the Democrats don't want to call the Republicans a Republican. They don't want to have to say that word, so he's an R. And I'll tell you how far they've carried that. If you go up to the state of Missouri, for those of you ever there, and you happen to see a license plate that's got an R or a D on the first letter in it, you probably got a Republican or a Democrat in there, because they've got that on their license plate, so you can tell which they are. I think, my goodness, how embarrassing. But let me tell you something. I kind of felt the same thing when I started hearing them say, well, you know, the C word. And I'm just ignorant. I'm dumb about most things. But I didn't know for sure what they were talking about. And then I find out they don't want to say the word cancer. It is a bad word. It's not a cuss word, but it's a bad word. See, I tell people, you know, I know a lot of cuss words. Every once in a while, someone will say to me, they get cussing and just cuss up a blue streak. I'm sorry, I said that in front of the preacher. I said, let me tell you something. So far, I've not heard you say a one that I didn't already know, because I've used them. They haven't come up with any new ones yet. We just use the same ones over and over now. I don't use them anymore. I've got a little story I could tell you about that too sometime, but not now, because I've got more important things to talk about. But what I want you to understand, you that are lost this evening, this man by the name of Naaman had all of these things going for him. Everything looked positive. Everything was successful. But he had leprosy, and he should have been cast out, and he would have lost everything. With every good attribute you have this evening, there's something that's wrong with you that can negate every one of those things, can cause them to not be of any value to you, and that is that you're lost. You're lost. You're a sinner that's lost. Does that mean that you're worse than I am? No, it doesn't. But it does mean you do need to do something about it. Now, I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I would like to, because it's important that you hear everything there is in this chapter. But I won't take the time to read that this evening. But I will ask you who are lost, and I know you normally won't read the Bible. I don't expect you to. I don't expect much out of lost people when it comes to all of this thing that we talk about, church and everything, because I was lost. I didn't care about those things until conviction began to come into my heart. I still didn't pick up the Bible, but what I did do is I listened to the old preacher get up there and preach about how God kept a record in heaven. I was using some of those cuss words. I thought, oh man, I just spoiled another page that he's got up there. Lord, give me a clean page that I can start again. But it wasn't long until I had that one marred. My point is this evening is that there isn't anything that you can do that's good enough to merit salvation. You know, it's not going to be up to you as to whether or not you're saved, excepting you are going to have to be the one who comes to him. And you're going to come to him on his conditions, not mine. Not this church's. Not this preacher's. Not anybody else here, excepting the Lord's. I want you to understand that. And he won't change those conditions just because of how important you are. Naaman had a little servant lady who had been taken out of the land of Israel, who was serving in the king's palace, who heard about the fact that Naaman had leprosy. And she went and she said, oh, I wish that he could be with the prophet in my country, because I know that he is a man of God, and that he could cure him of his leprosy. I want him to go see that prophet and be cured of his leprosy. Let me tell you something, you that are lost tonight. I know somebody who can cure you of the sickness of sin that's in your heart. He is the great physician. He is the perfect physician. And when he cures you, you will be cured forever. Amen. I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, I had cancer and I've been cured of it. I'm skeptical. I've never seen very many of them that stayed cured forever. Usually it comes back. It comes up in another form, or they die from it. I always hope that that's true, that they have been cured. Now, I'm pretty much of an expert on cancer because my companion for 14 years had cancer. So I know a little about what I'm talking about here. Now, I'm not telling you I'm an expert on it in the sense that I understand all the medical, but I can tell you one thing. It is terrible. But there is a sickness that is even worse than that, and that is the sin sickness of the soul, which you have, and we want you, I want you, I'll eliminate everybody else here. I'm just going to talk me and you tonight. I want you to be saved. I want you to be cured of that sin sickness of your soul. And you can be, because I know who to send you to. Just like this little damsel was. I know that there's a man who can cure you. I don't have any doubt about it. And so the word was sent to the king that there's a little servant down here who knows a fella that if we send Naaman down to him, we'll cure him of his leprosy. And so the king, he writes out official letters. Puts this letter on official letterhead stationery and he signs it and he puts together an entourage to go down to the old man of God that can cure this servant of his, this captain, this mighty man of valor, this outstanding man that serves the king who has leprosy. He sends him down there with all of these people to go down here and to be cured of his leprosy. Naaman takes off. He's got all of the authority. He's got the authority of the king, man. That's pretty important. That's pretty impressive. Most of you know that my baby brother is the governor of our state now. And so I get to go once up in a while and be important. I'm his big brother. And I get the royal treatment, you know. I get to go up to the mansion and I get to have all these security people around me. And when I go into the Capitol, I don't have to go through that screening and everything. I just walk right in there like I'm somebody. I take advantage of it too, Sonny. No. But you know what? I'm not anybody. I know that. And you know, it amazes me how, it's mind-boggling to me. People say, how do you feel about your little brother being the governor? I said, you know, first of all, I can hardly believe it. We came from the poorest of poor families. We're a little town of, you want me to say this? 390 people. Yeah, that's how big our town is. Got a sign up out there now that says, birthplace of the governor of the state of Missouri. That's our claim to fame. No, it's not really. But Naaman has got letters from the king to go down here and to see this prophet. He goes down there in all of his splendor and all of the fanciness and everything, just like I go up to the city. Comes down here and he's a pretty important person in his own eyes. He's got the backing of the right people. He goes down there to the house of the old prophet of the Lord. And you know what happens? The prophet doesn't even come out to see him. Now let me tell you something right now, you that are lost. The first thing that's going to have to happen to you before you're ever going to be saved is that you're going to have to understand that you're lost. You can't be saved until you know you're lost. And you can't know you're lost because I tell you, or because mama tells you, or daddy tells you, or grandpa tells you, or grandma tells you, or somebody else tells you. It has to come from the Lord. And it will come from the Lord, and he will let you know. And by the same way that the Lord's going to let you know when you're lost, mama and daddy and brother and sister and grandpa and grandma or anyone else, preachers included, cannot tell you when you are saved. He will let you know. But you cannot be saved until you have first been convicted. Conviction comes before conversion. Okay, I want to be sure you understand that. I don't care how important you are or who you think you are. You first are going to have to realize that you're a sinner, that you're lost, and you need help. You need to understand that there are people who are willing to help you. This little damsel, she put her life at risk to go in there and tell the king about this prophet that she knew. But she cared enough about Naaman that she was willing to take that risk. The people here, they're here tonight, not because they want to come and say, well, we want to come. Some of you may have come just to hear the music. I'll give you that. But I want to say to you lost, they came here tonight because they want to see you saved. Yeah, this church is having revival. Not because they wanted to call a preacher out of Missouri to come down here and to preach. You've got the best preacher there is anywhere. You didn't need me to come down here for that. No. What you needed to hear was the word of the Lord, and to know that this church loves you and cares about you and knows who to tell you about that can save your soul. I keep looking over in this section more than I do the rest of you. I'm preaching to all of you. So if you're over here and you're thinking I don't mean you, and he's looking over there, I'm looking down here too. I'm not one of these preachers when I preach that stands here like this and preaches all the time. I've seen preachers do that. I think, well, how in the world do they know what's going on? They don't. I want to see how you're looking. I want to see when you're hurt. I want to see when you're happy. I want to see when you're uncomfortable. I want to see whenever I preach too long and you start squirming enough that I know it's time to quit. No, I'm only kidding about that part. I hope I won't do that to you. But listen, these people care about you. They want you to be saved, and that's why they come. That's why the pastor spends his time to drive all the way down here and to be here service after service. It's not because he likes to drive the freeway out here. We don't call them freeways here, do we? Interstates, I guess. Okay, another slip of mine. He is concerned about you. Naaman gets down there. He comes driving up with his chariot and all of his entourage of people with him. He's got all these official letters and everything. Gets them out there and send them. The old servant comes out from the old prophet. Prophet doesn't even come out himself. That had to be the first burst of his bubble. The old prophet didn't even come out. He sent his servant out. Made Naaman mad. Now you may get mad at me before you get happy with me, you that are lost. You won't be the first person that ever said, I don't like that preacher. I don't like what he says. I don't like how he makes me feel. Let me give you a little secret. It doesn't matter what you think about me. I'm not the one that's making you feel that way. That's the Lord dealing with you. And before you can feel better, you got to feel worse. Yeah. I said this morning, you got to be serious about this thing if you're talking about being saved. Let me tell you, person that's lost is not going to come down here fiddly-diddling around and being happy about it, because being lost is miserable. I know from experience I've been lost. It wasn't a good feeling. I didn't enjoy it. It was not a fun thing. It hurts, to say the least. Hurts. My heart hurt. I felt bad. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that's what they called conviction. I just knew how I felt, and I didn't feel good about it. But I'll guarantee you, when the Lord saved me, it went just the other extreme, and I knew exactly how I felt was good. The old prophet sends out a message to Naaman and said, here's what you've got to do to be cured of your leprosy. That's what you need to know tonight, you that are lost. You don't need to know what the doctrine of this church is. You don't need to know what I believe about this thing or that thing according to the word of the Lord. You don't need to know what anybody else believes, thinks. You need to know what God says in his word, and you need to follow his instructions. The old prophet sends out and says to Naaman, you go down and dip in the river 7 times, and your flesh will be whole. The Lord tells you in his word, tells me in your word, what you need to do to be saved. You have to come to him, the Lord. You say, well, how am I going to do that? I'll tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to have to come to that point where you say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know. You're going to have to lead me. You're going to have to direct my foot to the foot of the cross. It's that simple. I can't get there. I don't know how to. My goodness. I remember, Sonny, whenever I was in the altar seeking the Lord, my pastor, it was later to become my pastor at the time, so he'd come by, he'd kind of pat me on the back and say, son, keep a digging till you hit the solid rock. I had no more idea what he was talking about than anything under the sun. All I could think of was a well driller drilling down when they were digging a well till he hit solid rock and couldn't go any further. But I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know he was talking about the solid rock Christ Jesus. I didn't understand those things. I didn't know what to do. Sometimes I was down there so long my legs were hurting me so bad all I could think about was how my legs were hurting. That's why you'll hear me every once in a while say to someone that's seeking the Lord, hey, if you need to move around a little bit, move around. So, you surely don't say that to those people in the altar. Well, I'll tell you what, when you can't think anything about how bad your legs are hurting, you sure aren't thinking about what the Lord's doing. You got to be serious with the Lord. And you're going to have to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. But I trust you. I believe you. And let him lead you and guide you. He is a perfect leader. He will not mislead you. He will not deceive you. I can tell you one that will. That's the devil. He's always been a liar, and he always will be. So don't listen to him. You listen to the Lord. Naaman, you go down to the river and you dip 7 times and you'll be cured of your leprosy. I want you to listen now what Naaman says. And Naaman was wroth. He was mad. And went away and said, behold, I thought. There's my text tonight, if I have one. Took me a long time to get there, Key. That's my text. Behold, I thought. And that's the trouble with a lot of our people today and a lot of you that are lost. You've already got in your mind what you think is going to happen or how this is going to come about because you've heard too many other people as to what they've done, how they've done, or where they've done, or they'll tell you what you've got to do. Let me tell you something. Forget about all of the other experiences you've heard about. God will give you your own experience. He will deal with you as the individual you are, and he will guide you and direct you in a perfect path if you will let him. Old Naaman's mad. He hears the answer to how to be cured of his leprosy. Is he happy about it? No, I want you to know he was not happy. He was mad. He was upset. He went off, and as you people down here say, he pitched a little fit. He was angry. He was upset. He went, and this is what he said. He said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. He's going to come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. he'll put on a good show. Yeah. Boy, I can see this. How many times have I said, Lord, heal him. Good gracious people. I get so sick of that. What a show. I've performed a little bit in my time, so I can recognize some of these things. Showmanship. Wanting to put on a big show. That's what Naaman said. You know, here's what I thought he would do. I thought that prophet would come out here and he'd stand and call on the name of his Lord and put his hand over me and strike me there within and say, be healed of your leprosy. Behold, that's what I thought would happen. Some of you who are lost already have in your mind what you think's going to happen when you get saved. What you're going to be. Where you're going to be. What you're going to do. Some of you have never thought that tonight you have the opportunity to do something about it. Tonight. You've not thought about that. Some of you may have. You may have said, you know what? I made up my mind. I'm going to go tonight and I'm going to do something about it. Well, let me tell you something. Don't just say it, do it. Don't just say it, do it. Now listen, Naaman takes off. He's mad. He didn't get it done the way he wanted it done. He said, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. There's a better way. Let me tell you something, you that are lost. I will guarantee you, you won't have to go 5 miles from here, and I don't know this area. But I can almost guarantee you could go in a radius of 5 miles of here and find a church that'll tell you a lot easier way that they will try to convince you that you can go to heaven. You don't have to do what that preacher's saying. You don't have to go to the Lord. You just have to live a good life. You just have to try to do the best you can. You just need to, you know, you need to do some act. You need to do some works. And you'll be okay. Yeah. And that can range anywhere from joining the church to being baptized to teaching, living the good life, doing good things. That'll get you into heaven. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight it won't happen, folks. I want you to know that are lost, that isn't going to happen. You're going to have to do it the Lord's way. God only has one way. He isn't going to change it for you. He didn't change it for me. And I'm not up here to tell you because that it was the way it was for me that it's going to be more difficult or that it's going to be any easier for you. Because there's only one way. And you have to come that way. You have to come to the Lord. You come to him with a broken and a contrite spirit. You come to him in faith, believing that he's able to do it. You come to him. And when you get all the way to the foot of the cross, and the only way you can get there is to say, Lord, give me the faith, give me the grace, give me the strength, give me the knowledge to do it. And when he gets you to the foot of the cross, you're at the place where he can save you. Every single one of us got saved at the same place. You heard me say this morning, I was saved in the coming up out of the gymnasium of the high school. Well, that's where I was. But when I got saved, my heart, my life was at the foot of the cross. And yours was too if you've been saved. Yeah. For you that are lost, you're going to have to come to the foot of the cross. So Naaman, he takes off. He's mad. He's upset. He says, I know there are some rivers here that I could go to and do the same thing and I'd be just as well off. He's got a servant, though, who comes up to him. And I can just see this in my mind. You know, he's just having a regular fit. Did any of you ever see anybody just throw a real regular fit? Some of you are Baptists, so surely you must have seen some at some time. I've seen some Baptists throw some pretty good fits. I'm not saying that to brag about it. I'm a little ashamed to have to admit it, but I wouldn't want to say the Methodists do it because I've got enough Baptists that do it. And it's not a pleasant thing. So I think this little servant who came up to Naaman when he's out here and he's just a stomping and a snorting and a having a fit about how he could go down there to one of those rivers and get this job done instead of having to go to one of those rivers that he depicted. Little servant comes up and he said, Master, he said, if he had bid you do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? If he'd wanted you to do something that would have brought a lot of attention to you, if he'd wanted you to do something that everybody could have noticed and seen, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah. Naaman knew the answer. That little servant knew the answer too. He said, how much then less if you just go down there and do what he told you to do? Let me tell you something else, you that are lost. I may not get the agreement of this church. And it's okay. I didn't come down here to just please them. I didn't come here to displease them either. But I want to tell you something. We've got so many people today who want to make it so hard for you to get saved and have created so much confusion about what all you've got to do to be saved, that it's no wonder that people aren't being saved anymore. Our churches have started preaching works instead of faith and grace. You've got, there's your key word, folks. Now, you just remember this. As soon as you say to a person, you've got to do this or that, oh, you've got to come to the altar, that's works. That's works. I don't care how you look at it. You can call it whatever you want to. You don't have to come to the altar. The Spirit may lead you sometime, and it's a good place to come. Please don't misunderstand me. I wish we all spent a lot more time than we do there. Here's the interesting thing to me. We say people are always talking about how lost people need to come to the altar. We won't come ourselves. What in the world's wrong with us that we think they ought to come and we don't come? When do we come? When we get some of them down here. How many of you went to the altar this morning at the invitation? How many of you saved people? Put your hands up here. I was here. Better not see a hand. No. How many of you believe that maybe once in a while we ought to use the altar? Don't put your hands up. I don't want to see them. I don't want to embarrass you. But you see, we say, you've got to come to the altar. No, you don't have to come to the altar, but you have to come to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, but you can't get to the Lord unless he's leading you by his Spirit to come. That, you see, again, you got to have the Lord. He's got to be involved in this whole process. You don't have anything to offer him. No, you don't have anything good enough. I never had anything good enough. All I could do is say, Lord, here I am. I wasn't even worthy of being saved. I'm still not worthy, but I am saved by his goodness and his grace. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? Why can't I go down then and dip in them? But his little servant said, you know, do what he asked you to do if you want to be cleansed of your leprosy. So old Naaman, he goes and he climbs down into the water. Key, I cannot verify this by the scripture, but in my mind, I believe that he had to dip seven times. I believe when old Naaman went down there and he dipped once, he came up and he looked. Is it still there? It was. I believe if it hadn't been, he'd have stopped right then. And that's what happens to a lot of lost people. You who are lost, you'll see people sometimes who come to the altar and then you don't see them come anymore. You know, they thought they ought to, you know, they had already in their mind what was going to happen, and when it didn't happen the way they thought it was going to, okay, I'm through. Not going back. Old Naaman went down the second time, come up the second time, looked again. He's still a leper. He goes down six times. And when he come up the sixth time, he was still a leper. It had not changed. Until you do exactly what God says in his word, you are going to continue to be lost. You can't half do the job. You can't three quarters do the job. You can't 99% do the job of coming to Him and Him saving you. But when you come completely to Him, 100%, believing that He will save you, He will do that. The seventh time old Naaman came up, and his Bible says that his skin was pure and white and that of a little child. Baby, I believe it says. He got what he had set out to receive. But it didn't happen the way that he thought it was going to. It didn't happen the way that he wanted it to. It didn't happen where he wanted it to. And it didn't happen how he wanted it to. But he was cured of his leprosy. You this evening are in that same boat. All I can tell you this is that I do know that God is just as able to save you as he was me. It is no more difficult for him to save someone today than it was whenever I was lost. All of those eon years ago, whenever that God saved my soul. It's as easy for him to save you tonight as it was me. I will tell you this. You can plan out all you want to. You can figure out everything that you think you can figure out as to how, where, when you want this to happen. But until you do it exactly as God leads you, you will continue to be lost. Whether you're young or whether you're old. So you need to listen to the Lord and follow His Spirit as He speaks to your heart. And I pray that you'll do that. I'm going to ask Brother Kenneth to come and to do the invitation if he wants to have an invitation. But I will say this to you if you're here and you're lost tonight. I believe he will. But if he doesn't, you come anyway. Yeah, if you want to come down here, I'll pray with you. I can't save you. Do you have to come down here? No, you don't have to. But you do have to come to the Lord. And this is a good place to start. This is a good place because these people are like that little servant who went to the king or to her master and said, I know a man who can do the job. And she did. All he had to do was to do his part. I'm telling you about a man this evening who can do the job for you. All you have to do is your part. Kenneth, I'm through.